Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with author Joseph Belinsky about his book, God and Country, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Now, we don't have time to cover a lot of information from the prior interview, but I want to jump right into the most important part as far as I'm concerned, and that is the mark of the beast and how you could be carrying it around right now. It's called your money. Here's Joseph Belinsky explaining what I mean.
The seven heads are also seven kings. In this, there's a picture of 10 monetary units. And on those 10 monetary units are seven kings. They are the seven presidents. They are the seven leaders who are honored on the 10 monetary units. There's an interesting picture here. It shows a half dollar, and Kennedy's on it. And Trey says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a head, a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. No one can buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast. And the mark is the dollar sign. Almighty One, is it God or the dollar?
Yeah, amen.
And I guess to carry on with what you were saying is, we worship the dollar, the beast that God hates, and putting God we trust on that dollar, how rude. Everyone carries the mark of the beast. Literally,
yeah.
We carry it in our pockets, wallets, and purses. The dollar sign is the mark of the beast. We all carry dollars. And we've lost our discipline and morality because it's all about the dollar, the beast that God hates.
Yeah, amen. And like you say, we have become so focused on the economy and the money and, you know, how much money we can make and, you know, I mean, this, when I was reading that, that really just opened my eyes to what you're trying to do with this book, because it just identifies the United States right there. And we are the, you know, world currency, if you want to call it. Now, China is trying to compete with that now, but, you know, since World War II, basically, we have been the international currency of trade. Everyone traded in U.S. dollars. And,
yes.
You know, that has grown the influence. I mean, this, that is just so amazing that, like you said, we all carry it. We carry it around, you know, with us everywhere we go. You can't buy or sell without it. It just answers everything.
The whole world follows the beast.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And, you know, with this virus at the time of this recording, the shutdown and all that that has taken place, and I've said it before that, you know, we were worshiping, you know, idols of, you know, sports idols. We were worshiping Hollywood idols. We're worshiping music idols. We're worshiping, you know, the almighty dollar. That, you know, we're people working 70 hours a week, mom and dad leaving the house and leaving the kids to babysitters and, you know, television and everything else. What did God do to get our attention? He shut everything down. He took away the movies. He took away the sports. He took away the music. He took away the jobs, made people stay at home so you had to spend time with your family, and help give you one last chance to focus on what is most important in life. You know, this book just ties right into that. Like I said, this part really, really grabbed my attention, you know, because it's been so obvious. I mean, it answers so many questions. What is the mark of the beast? It's the almighty dollar, you know. That was, as I explained before we started the record, that really grabbed my attention. That just makes so much sense in that section. Now, is it true, because I'm a researcher, but it's in your book, is it true that when a pope dies, he's buried in a lead-lined coffin with purses of money inside his casket?
Isn't that amazing?
Explain that, because you went over it in your book.
Basically, that's pretty much all I know is the coins that they have they put him in the casket with them. I don't know any more than that. I just heard that, and I found that fascinating.
Yeah, and you know, you also outline in your book about, you know, we're called to come together and worship and all that, but the focus of the preacher is collecting the offerings.
Our religions, they have good things and they have some bad things. That's one of the bad things, is that during the Mass, they pass a collection plate along and they collect the beast.
Yeah.
So it's, things have to change, and hopefully some things will change.
Amen, amen. And all of this, well, let me go to, you identify the seven kings in Revelation 17 as the president's representations on our money. And all of this relates to two really separate verses in the Bible that talk about the number 666. And, you know, about carrying the mark of the beast right now. But aren't we supposed to be looking for that 666? How can the dollar sign represent 666?
There is a chapter in the book that covers that. Mm-hmm. It's a diversion, is basically what I believe it came down to. People were focusing on 666 too much and not really reading the phrases or trying to adhere to the phrases in the Bible itself. And God caught us. We were focused too much on a number and weren't watching what we were doing.
Amen, amen. Explain for our listeners how you've determined what it means to live by faith according to the Bible in your book.
I guess the best way to do that would be to go to a chapter that is called Faith and Law. And again, there's probably about 14, 15 different phrases here from throughout the Bible. But from Faith Law, the first comment here is, God's word is the law we live by. And in the true testament of his faith and hope in us, God nailed his word to the cross. And here's the phrases. Be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. And I don't know, did we cover Jesus already?
Yeah.
He was an example?
Yeah, okay. You did that at the beginning, yep.
So the phrase is again, be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The comment that's in the book here is, and to live according to God in regard to the spirit, let's recall that God's words came to life. The phrases again say, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith. Before this day came, we were held prisoners by the law. Surely you remember, there came a man who was sent from God as an example for those who would believe,
amen,
a model for you to follow. The comment now is, by physically bringing his words to life, God not only gave us an example, but God then followed up by canceling the written code, nailing it to the cross. And by canceling the written code, God gave us freedom from strictly adhering to everything written in the Bible. The phrases now state, follow my example. The righteous will live by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. The righteous will live by faith. Basically, we follow the Bible, but we don't live according to strictly adhering to the words,
right,
by the faith, by what we know in our heart. For the Bible is what that lesson is about.
Yep. Amen. And you know, since we can't follow the law, God said, okay, then follow by faith, right?
Which is a good thing for our country, because 330 million people trying to adhere to the book when many people have trouble adhering to it. God gave us the option to live as a nation by faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And how does politics mix all with this?
I guess how do we earn our freedom is what we're asking.
Okay.
And a quick response would be freedom comes with the restriction of living by faith. Freedom has responsibilities with our mutual duty to be respectful to one another. And freedom must be constrained by discipline. And that discipline is the Bible. And this is where quite a few lessons come together. The freedom comes after we've learned all the lessons. And this might take about a minute and a half or 2 minutes to go through.
Okay.
If you want to go through this.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so from the biblical phrases, we learn that those who founded our country created our laws to give us freedom because we're supposed to live by God's laws. The biblical phrases state that long ago your forefathers separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, to follow the law of God, and obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord. So we must live a righteous life and adhere to the Bible to earn our right to be free. But the phrases also make it known that it's impossible for everyone to adhere to everything written in the Bible, what we just learned. The phrases state, what chance do men have in holding everyone to adhere to everything in the Bible? And cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything mm-hmm. written in the book of the law.
Amen.
So God gave us this new option, an option to live by faith, which allows us to live peacefully with each other through knowing and abiding by the intent of the biblical words in our heart. Now remember, we call John 1:14, the Word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So 2,000 years ago, God literally nailed his words to the cross, emphasizing that we don't have to abide by the written word anymore.
Amen.
And we just need to live like what we were shown. So God not only gave us an example to live by, but the incredible result is that we can now live by faith instead of having to adhere to everything written in the Bible. So living by faith and adhering to the New Testament is the responsibility of each and every citizen. And it's essential that we all live by faith and adhere to the New Testament, because we're warned by the biblical phrases from the lesson of the fourth beast that our country must be united or we will fail.
Mm-hmm.
And as another sidelight from our own history, we learn that to live freely, we must all uphold our mutual duty and treat each other with respect. And with these simple responsibilities, it's clear that when peaceful and faithful citizens unite, it adds up to equal a nation of freedom. We have to earn our freedom. We don't just get it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you talk about the free exercise of religion and the Bill of Rights correlates to this living by faith in the Bible. How has that correlation been lost on the generation we currently live in?
I don't know. We keep getting away with more and more things, and it's we've allowed those who don't believe or adhere to the Bible to start making our rules and our laws for us,
yeah.
And we're drifting further and further away.
Amen. 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 Let's go over some of the phrases that you rearranged that describe our country and what we are seeing right now in the culture. Can you share a few of those with us?
The one that comes to mind is the lesson I call freedom.
Okay.
If you want to go over that one.
Sure.
A quick comment that, first of all, before we go over freedom, freedom is an illusion without everyone grasping the background behind it.
Mm.
So these are all phrases from the Bible, again, about 12, 14, all from different parts of the Bible put together. This is what the Lord says. For lack of guidance, a nation falls. You of this generation, why do my people say, we are free to roam, we will come to you no more? Be careful that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. But it was not this way from the beginning. Long ago, your forefathers separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, to follow the law of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord. They were longing for a better country. The people feared the Lord and put their trust in him, but you have now rejected your God. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. That's freedom. That pretty much describes your country.
All right. Now, Joseph, I've got a question for you. According to your book, is the United States a shining example for others to follow, or are we actually a bad influence on the world?
Yeah, we're actually a bad influence on the world.
And how's that?
You caught me by surprise with that one. And I don't know exactly where I go to find this, but we impose our freedom on others. And just a quick little, maybe half a paragraph here. Pretending to have freedom without understanding and without adhering to our constraints and then carelessly imposing a flawed concept of freedom on others gives those populations the wrong perception of freedom, and it takes away the discipline and morality of those civilizations. And whether here in our own country or abroad, we should understand that casually giving freedom to those who do not live in faith, to those who are lawless, is pure stupidity.
Yeah.
What we've been doing, we have been carelessly trying to sell and promote a flawed product.
Yeah, amen, amen. And I mean, we're number one exporter of pornography across the world, you know. And you know, a lot of these countries, they look at the United States as being basically the root of all evil, not the shining example of freedom. And that's a bad perception. It really is. And I love how you emphasize in your book how people will ask during or after something tragic happens. You know, they'll say, "How could God let this happen?" When actually, we should be asking, why would God be pleased with any of us? Explain why you included that section in your book, because it's spot on, in my opinion.
I'd rather have you in with that one. I think you'd do a better job of letting that be known. I'm glad you read more of the book than what I thought you were going to read.
I'm prepared, brother.
you really have. But I laid it out in that chapter. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts would be more.
Well, I agree, you know, because I hear that all the time. You know, so how could God, you know, take my baby? How could God take my husband when, you know, we don't have a guarantee of, you know, 80 years, 120 years. I mean, you know, you'll hear some preachers talk about, well, yeah, God says, you know, 120 years is the life of a man. Well, why is it some people live 2 weeks? My brother died after he was 28 days old, you know. These are things that you have no control over. You don't, in my opinion, and I believe I speak accurately on this, we don't control our next heartbeat or our next breath. It's all in the hand of God, you know. So I like how you said, why would God be pleased with any of us? What have you done for him? You know, you want God to do all this stuff for you. Why would he? You know, yes, he loves us. God so loved the world. I understand that. But, you know, why would we question? I love the argument Job gave, you know, and then when God decided to answer Job's questions, suddenly Job wanted to remain silent. You know? And, you know, he just realized, you know, I spoke foolishly as a man. Yeah, go figure, right? But your section of that book, I love that. I mean, because it was spot on. It was spot on. You know, what have you done for God? Yeah, basically.
And I'm happy you could appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Now, we're about out of time. How can someone get a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon?
Let's see. I believe it's on Amazon. It's actually through Outskirts Press, who published it. The name is God and Country, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I believe it's an e-book. It's in soft cover and hard cover.
Okay. Amen. So I'll have a link to that down below. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, if they have any questions or maybe they want to do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
I think the standard practice, I'm really not sure. You're my first interview, Pastor Bob. Thank you. And I think they go through Outskirts to do that.
Okay. Outskirts is?
Outskirts Press. They're based in Colorado.
Okay. So they should email them?
I would think so. I think that's the way they do that. I really don't know.
Okay. Do you have a website for your book?
Actually, I don't. No.
Okay. Amen.
Kind of like what we were talking about with technology and stuff before, that you're learning this. I'm learning it too. I haven't started a website for it yet.
Amen. So I'll just put the link to your publisher's website down in the show notes then. How's that?
Beautiful.
All right. Amen. Amen. Folks, Joseph Belinsky has shared with us some very compelling evidence that's contained in the Bible of how close we are to all this stuff just wrapping up, because time's almost out. As he's talking about the seventh year. You know, the phrases hint of the coming apocalypse, and it's really not that far off. Whether our politicians really realize it or not, or whether we realize it or not, that does not stop at all the timeline of God. You know, it's not going to be, oh, wait a minute, I got to retire in one more year, please stop. No, that's not going to affect anything. It's up to each one of us to understand just how close it really is. Whether you are alive or not when it occurs, that's just a side note. Okay, each person will have that day when they will be judged, whether or not they truly believe the Bible and were truly living by faith. Our political leaders either can't see what's happening, or they deny it's happening, or they just don't care it's happening. And they'll answer for that as well. But you and I and everyone else must answer for how we live by faith right now. As Joseph Belinsky has so eloquently pointed out in his book, God and Country, the only possible way this country can avoid a disaster of judgment is for each believer to actually believe in their heart and to live by faith and to take this nation back and bring us back to a nation of God-fearing people who actually live by faith and to unite together as a nation. Anything else will result in the blessings which we've enjoyed for almost 250 years to be lost and to be turned into judgment. Joseph, I've been preaching for years that the choices we make individually and as a nation collectively determine our future. Pro-choice or pro-life, gay marriage or biblical marriage, cultural norms or biblical norms. All of these things and more, they can't be any clearer in the election processes. I mean, one political party talks about God through its platform, and the other has no reference to God but talks about gay rights and stuff 17 different times. And that's just one example. You know, in the closing parts of your book, you explain the concept of time in a very clear, concise example. Could you quickly summarize that for our listeners to ponder as we get ready to close, your concept of time?
Well, I don't really have that right in front of me. And I don't know which actual portion of the book you're looking at. Hmm. If you want to read that, I'd be more than happy if you...
I don't have that. The book pulled up in front of me.
Okay. Do you know what chapter that was?
No, I sure don't.
Some of them, because I do have maybe three or four instances of something like that. So I don't know.
It might be at the end.
At the end. Something to do with time. I'm going in blank right now. I'm really in because I don't... I'm just drawing a blank on that.
All right. no problem. I'll edit that part out. But,
okay, yeah, because I'm trying to think of that and just not something like an end of time is just not coming in the mind right now.
Okay, because it was a good, I can't remember what you said on it, and I don't remember where it was at, but it was good.
Do you have any special words that come to the thought for that?
No, I just remember when I was going through, I said, oh, I want to ask him this as we close. And
that's not ringing a bell right now. Something with time.
Maybe it was about, oh, I know what it is. Okay. Einstein, page 201, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Einstein was,
That if nothing exists, then there is no time.
Einstein proved that if nothing exists, then there is no time. Yeah, okay. Time also does not exist.
Right. Yeah. So, okay, let me ask the question again, and then that way I can edit out all that part we just did.
Did you want me to read that particular chapter, or
you quote from Einstein and then give your take on it, which was the next paragraph, I think it is. So let me restate. I'll have about a 5-second pause, so I know where to cut.
My apologies. Then, I got a brain fart on that. I didn't.
All right. Okay, so we'll pause. We have about 5 seconds of silence. Then I'll re-ask the question again.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Joseph, in the closing parts of your book, you explain the concept of time in a very clear and concise example. Could you quickly summarize that for our listeners to ponder as we get ready to close?
You're probably talking about the comment for Einstein.
Yeah.
In the book,
yep.
Einstein proved that if nothing exists, then there is no time. That time also does not exist. So if nothing ever exists and time has never started, then who would care about anything? But if something exists, then why would it exist if there's nothing there to appreciate it? And if something does exist, then why shouldn't we be a part of it to appreciate it?
Amen.
If there is nothing driving life to happen, if nothing is pulling life to begin, and life is just a random incident of chance, an aberration that is haphazardly created, then what is its purpose? What is gained? If no one knows or cares, then why is life given this chance?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that, I was reading that, and I was like, man, that is good right there. Amen. Folks, you need to get a copy of Joseph's book, God and Country. I mean, this is a must-have. I learned so much, and I only read it through one time and not really in depth. I was just preparing for this interview, but I'm going back through after this interview to read it again because I know if you've paid attention, you'll want to get your hands on this book and go through it as well. Just go down to the show notes, click the link, order your copy today. In fact, order 2-3 copies. Pass them around to your friends. Maybe have a book club discussion, and discuss this amongst your group. This is important information that needs to be shared. I can tell you right now, it'll ruffle some feathers of those traditional churches who just want to go along to get along. It'll ruffle the feathers of politicians who want more power for themselves and more money, too. And we talked about how the influence of money, it flies in the face of what you've been taught, which is, the basic concept in America has been get all you can all you get, then sit on the can. But again, Joseph just goes into detail about how that is actually the mark of the beast. Joseph, thank you for sharing all this vital information that you discovered over the last 20 years and putting it all together in one coherent piece of work. In this book, God and Country. And thank you for coming on the program and sharing that information with us today.
Well, Pastor Bob, it's been a pleasure. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
Hey, amen. I appreciate it. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Joseph Belinsky and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard?
Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.